Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yeah, good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. We go across the country, mob, so give us a call. Have your say and yarn up strong on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, virtual community channel launches to help dads, kids, families in COVID-19, the world we're living in at the moment. This fantastic project is called the Fathering Project, and we're talking about fathers and father figures who have a profound impact on the health and well-being of their kids, their families, and that of their wider communities. So during these uncertain times of COVID-19 and the rapid changing world as a result, there has never been a more important time to support fathers across Australia to ensure they're able to remain engaged and effectively care for the kids, families, and communities. Second that, look, I'm going to catch up with yarn now with two deadly gentlemen by the name of Chris Borrell and John Rutter on the line. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. Great, Trevor, mate. Great intro. You've nailed it, mate. That's exactly what we're
fantastic.
All about.
Fantastic. There it is. I got goosebumps. You know, father, myself, and grandfather, and my beautiful father still with me. So, like, leading from the front, and we are talking about the foundation of a family. Beautiful women out there, mothers who give life, and fathers who steer that life into the future. I think, it's a team effort, and we as fathers and father figureheads need to do our bit, yep.
That's exactly it. I really feel that, again, you've nailed it, in that we have that opportunity and to really steer and direct a family, that mums do a great job. And this is not about saying that they're not, but it's about dads recognising the opportunity they have to be able to speak into the life of the family, but also, more importantly, to the life of their young people, and set the value systems and all these important things that we can do as men.
Fantastic. Yep. Well, fantastic. I mean, you cannot build an empire on sand, so we need a strong foundation, and fathers and father figureheads provide that foundation. First of all, let's just talk about the Fathering Project, how it all started and where it came from and how long you've been running for.
Yes, thanks, Trevor. So basically, we started about 9 years ago based in Western Australia by a gentleman called Professor Bruce Robinson. He's a leading lung expert over there, and he found his dealing with men on the deathbed suffering from asbestos and other lung-related diseases, where he'd be sitting across from these guys, you know, 1 to 2 metres apart and saying, hey, mate, you've got 2 weeks to live. And he kept finding he was receiving the same responses. These guys were saying, oh, Bruce, I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I spent more time with my family, and I wish someone had told me sooner. So essentially, he started the Fathering Project to be that third rung on the scale there, saying, look, we're here to tell you guys, here to tell your fathers out there, your father figures that, you know what, you've still got time. You know, career's important, or, you know, everyone's going to have a job, but the best job you can ever have is being a dad. We want you to be a great dad.
Look, I remember speaking to an elder, an uncle, who was virtually on his deathbed, and asked the question, you know, if you had to do it all over again, uncle, what would you do different? And you know, he reckoned I would spend, I would take more risk, number one, and number two, I'd spend more time with my children.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Yeah. And it's a message that keeps coming back. So when are we going to take note of that? And it's also important that as men that we, you know, focus on career. But it's about having balance, isn't it? And,
it is.
You know, bringing income in and being that person in that family, and being who you need to be as a man as well. But it's making sure that you get the balance right, and that you don't have the same regrets as the men that have gone before you.
Well, you're talking balance. I mean, look, we can always make money, but you can never buy back time. And time is the most precious commodity out there. And, looking at that infant you got in your hand, you get Google, Google, Dada, what have you, before you know it, 18-year-old, married up and 3 kids, and you know, you're 1 foot in the grave, so to speak.
Well, that's it. It's been about legacy as well, isn't it? But also, as you say, what we're recognising now is his health is important as well. You know, so these are the things that we can't buy back. So it's at these times we get to look at our families, and we're seeing that in, even now, that what our message is. I mean, we've been around for a long time, but our message just seems to be more relevant now.
Yes. Well, since man began, since life began, you know, father figure. So how do you deliver your project? So before the, we'll get into the new virtual community channel, but how do you deliver the fathering project as such, and where do you deliver it?
Yeah, definitely. So we're based in WA, as I've mentioned previously, and our current program's largely a school-based program. And the reason for that is, Trevor, is because research shows that kids are most, it's most beneficial for a dad to engage with the kid at the beginning of their education journey. And most of the time, around that 3, 4, 5 year old age. So we've got about 150 schools on board in WA. We've got 90 on board in New South Wales, about 34 in Victoria, and around the, about 33, 34 in Queensland. And we've got a goal of branching into South Australia and Northern Territory this year as well. And essentially what we do is we go into schools, and when I say schools, it's state schools, private schools, independent schools, childcare centres, we're moving into community groups, sports teams as well, and we set up what's called a dad's group. So, you know, from the beginning of time, men of all cultures have been meeting in groups to discuss different matters about family life, and, you know, they share their wins and they share their losses. So we're just basically adopting what people have been doing for centuries already, and we're going into these community
groups. Well, we as First Nation people, we have men's group, and the fathers and all the men get together and talk about their role, and also a table where they can put stuff on the table in regarding what's going on in their lives, good or bad.
Yep, spot on. That's exactly what we're doing with dad's groups through the Fathering Project. And as I said, we're just looking to inspire and equip dads to be the best dad they can be, because we all know that every dad wants to be a good dad.
Yes. Exactly. So you go to the schools, so the fathers are with you, or are you talking about future fathers?
Yeah, so we start a dad's group, and we invite dads. So every dad in a dad's group's got two things in common. They're a dad at the school, or they're a dad and the kid goes to the school. Sorry. So every dad that's associated with the school or with the community group, they're invited to come to this dad's group, and they're welcome to talk about topics they want to talk about. But we've also got a list of topics that fathers have talked about in previous groups that we think is really powerful. So, you know, for example, how do you raise a daughter, or how do you deal with bullying, or how do you deal with social media in this new age?
Okay.
So all from the table.
Exactly. So we've got a lot of content, Trevor, that's we call sort of our fathering fundamentals. But most of our conversations, and this is where I think it's relevant across all cultures, and we can bridge across any culture.
Yes.
Because we've got some simple foundational principles that are about building relationship with your child. And that's what we call it, the BUS principle. And if I could share that with you.
BUS, B-U-S?
B-U-S, man. So we just look at the acronym of B-U-S, and we say to guys, just get on the bus each day, and it's a really simple way to do it. So the B is about, how do you be there for your kids, just being present with them. And that's not always just picking them up from school or going to their sports. It's actually how you're spending eye contact, and I know that's something in culture too, we've got to be careful about. But how do you spend that intimacy with that person where you are building a one-on-one relationship and you're really present with them? And the U is unconditional love, which can be hard for men sometimes. We haven't seen that in our own life. We can sometimes struggle in what does it look like. But what we're encouraging and teaching dads is that love isn't transactional, that you love your child because they are your child, no matter what their behavior is, that they feel the security of your love no matter what. We might not be happy with the behavior at the time or whatever's happening, but we can speak into that behavior rather than speaking into the character of the person.
Sure.
And
accept them, warts and all.
That's it, exactly, because we want to have the opportunity to influence, and if we withdraw from them, then the trust is also broken. So it's an important element. And the S is that we recognize that our child is special
and that,
that their character, we start to see them for who they are, and we can actually affirm and shape their character by speaking into those things and saying, you know, you're really creative, or you're really sporty, or that, you know, I love this part about you, or identify those individual qualities that your child has. And I think that's powerful. So we say, get on the bus, boys.
Get on the bus, you know. And when you look at his, you know, another acronym, KISS, you know, keep it simple, spunky, I'm a positive person. So when you look at the simplicity of BUS and the meaning to it, well, it's powerful, and it forms that strong foundation, doesn't it, and that relationship to build upon.
Great formula, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful.
Again, what what culture is not, that not relevant to? It's exactly across all of us. Yeah.
Exactly. Look, fantastic. And let's quickly talk about the new virtual community in regards to space we're living in at the moment, 2020, COVID-19. Blessed are the flexible, and we need to change with the times or get left behind. And you've created a new virtual community channel. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so thanks, Trevor. It's called the Fathering Channel. So essentially, COVID-19's fast-forwarded plans we already had in motion, where we were already looking to develop a digital suite of tools for dads to engage with for free. So the Fathering Channel, it is all about engaging dads, building a collective support group, positive messaging, and strengthening the bonds between, you know, fathers and kids on a virtual community. So any dad in Australia can access this channel, and we're more than happy to give you the link for that, put in the bio. But look, it features podcasts, videos, chat forums, research-based material, and even lighthearted chats with different celebrities around Australia. So it's just a way for dads to engage and to connect with other dads in this time of social isolation.
So how do people get on board?
Simply go through our website, which is thefatheringproject.org. You'll see on our home screen, go straight to basically the link to the Fathering Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as Krista just said, it's really just about a simple way to engage dads and to see what are some simple tools like the bus principle, but maybe it's some ideas in the home during this time around how do you cook with the kids and engage in day-to-day tasks where you're building a relationship on the way. Again, our research is compelling that we really can make a massive impact when dads engage in the lives of their kids. And we've just got to look at, we don't want to say to dads, hey, you're not doing a good enough job, or there's no father bashing going on here, but we're just saying, hey, look at the opportunity you've got, and how can you make little tweaks to what you currently do in the day that get you greater results, and your kids are going to be better for it, you know. So
fantastic.
We don't want dads to do more.
Yep.
We just want them to be more for their kids. That's what our message is, you know.
Exactly.
Our founder, he always says, look, COVID-19 is an unprecedented time in history. Let's make it a positive one. This time could be, you know, we're all going to remember this time. Let's make it one of an enjoyable experience where we are all at home, we're having fun. It doesn't have to be a negative connotation. It can be something
exactly
that we can write down in the history books of our family, the time when we got together and we had a laugh, and it was just, you know,
yeah, powerful. Well, like I said, COVID-19, here it is, it's created havoc across the globe, so to speak. But you know, it's not what happens to you in life; it's how you respond to it. And the Fathering Project has risen in this space in regarding the new virtual community channel, which is fantastic. And we can still, like, when we come out of this, so to speak, you know, they come out of the COVID-19, the foundations are there for fathers to be the true father they need to be. My father's always told me is, you got to be a father. You got to be a man to yourself before anybody else. You know that man in the mirror is what we're talking about, and that's what I'm picking up here with you, Chris and John.
Yep, that's it, brother. Exactly it. And it's powerful. I mean, and like you've just said a couple of times, we've all got a fathering story,
yes,
haven't we, Trevor? You know, and so and that shapes us in some ways. And we often say that the role that we'll have as dad will be profound. It's up to us whether it's going to be profoundly good or profoundly bad. But there's no denying that we have a massive impact on our kids.
Yeah, look, hats off to Dr. Bruce Robinson, the work that he's done in regard to, he saw something in regard to him while he's delivering lung capacity, so to speak, but then he saw the mental and the soul and the what if, so to speak, you know, and which created the Fathering Project. Look, a non-for-profit organisation, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
Yep, we are. And it's been fantastic because the research that he has done in those early years to see what are the effects of fathering, not only the anecdotal stories that he had from those dads on those deathbeds, but he said, what is the impact by these men that aren't stepping in? And so the research has been compelling, and that's been awesome because it's allowed us to get federal funding to be able to go national. But
yes,
what I love about that is that we can see that there's direct links, that there's enough to say it's worth us as dads getting in early.
Yes,
because it makes an impact into the social and mental health of our society, and that's the opportunity we're presenting.
Look, to me, it's a powerful tool as well in regarding the relationship between father and children and kids. You know what I mean? And then the mother looking on in awe, and the father's in a space where he can become the true warrior in the 21st century, so to speak, and be true to his family. It's like a win-win across the board, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's what we love when we get feedback from dads that sort of thing. Well, I think I'm doing enough, and we'll just tweak a couple of things.
Exactly.
And they come back to us and go, I did those things, and you know what? I feel better. I feel better for good. It. I feel more purposeful as a dad. My kids are loving me more. My wife appreciates me more. And it was just by tweaking a couple of things and being there. It was just following the bus.
Get on the bus. Well, you got me for a ride, boys. Look, fantastic. Chris Burrell, thank you very much. John Rudder, Too Deadly, the fathering project. So check it out online and look at the new virtual community channel as well. And it's just helping our fathers and father figures to stand up and give them a platform to be the best that they can be. And look, Deadly talking with you, gentlemen. Thank you so very much. And look, all the best to you and your Deadly team. But look, take care and stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, gentlemen.
Likewise,
thanks,
mate.
Trevor.
Thanks,
Seth.
You're right.
Too Deadly. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother.
Beautiful yarn there. Chris Burrell and John Rudder, and they're from the Fathering Project. So fantastic to all our Deadly fathers out there. Check it out online, thefatheringproject.org.au, and look, a fantastic opportunity to become a better father, you know. And people say, oh, no, I'm doing my job. Well, the old phrase is you don't have to be sick to get better. So there it is. We can always better ourselves every day in every way. I'm getting better and better. So look, a fantastic opportunity, especially we're living in at the moment, COVID-19, your mob, and we can do things to better ourselves. So do look at that, you Deadly brothers out there, true warriors of the 21st century. This is Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
You're not sure who to turn to for legal advice? Want someone who knows what you and your mob need? Need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law. They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector. They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more. Choose a law firm that understands you, Marawa Law. Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 130 88.
Station sponsor.
Little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Good morning, you Deadly mob. Welcome back to your Deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, so we go across the country, mob. Have you saying Yana Strong? Give us a call on that Deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, boost and pandemic family violence funding welcome to keep people safe. In the space we're living in at the moment, 2020, with COVID-19 upon us, is creating a lot of dramas, anxiety and under pressure and unemployment and what have you. And it's just sad, but we're talking about family violence on the rise. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Lizette Twistleton, Head of Sector Development. Very good morning, Lizette. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important space you're working in, and here we are, COVID-19 pandemic, but we do not want family violence to become a pandemic as well. Is that the case yet?
Absolutely. We're really concerned about it here at Nota Violence. We're really concerned about the incredible pressures that are going to be happening in some households as that isolation happens. Worried, you know, about family safety.
All right, so you welcome the today's announcement. Well, the other day announcement by the Minister of Prevention of Family Violence, Gabriel Williams, of $40.2 million. Look, money is a tool and it's an investment to what's in the space you're working in. So welcome the funding, but a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, we're hoping to get some of that money. So that was Victorian money that was announced as part of that, as part of their own money, but also part of some of the national money that was announced on the 1st of April. Mm. We've been lobbying to get some of that money, and hopefully, we've put forward a proposal to increase our ability to respond to men who use family violence and provide support to those men in while they're in their homes, but also support to the workforce. We do a number of things at Nota Violence that can help families be safer.
Well, exactly, you know. And so to our victims out there, to beautiful women and our children, what's a number that they can call?
They can call 1-800-RESPECT. That's a national line, and we encourage victims to call that, or any local line in wherever you live. So different states and territories have different numbers. And we encourage people to, where they feel safe, they can call. We know that women are actually, the victims are finding it difficult to sometimes make that call when he's in the house
sure.
at the moment, or they have limited ability to get outside of the house.
Mm. And look, we need to be reaching out to the victims as such, but it's a two-way street. They've got to be reaching out as well, you know. And the message we're putting across the airways here, Lizette, is, the help and support is here. We're reaching out, yes?
Absolutely. And, you know, in our work with men who use family violence, our highest priority and the reason why we do our work is to keep women and children safe.
Yes.
So we engage with men in a number of different ways. At Nota Violence, we have a phone line, a men's referral service.
Okay.
So
support the men in the space, and so they're not going to go down that ugly track, so to speak. And you've got a number
That's
there
right.
for referrals,
right.
men's referral service helpline.
I do have a number here for the men's referral helpline, and it is 1-300-766-491.
So men's referral service helpline 1-300-766-491.
That's right.
Lovely.
Yep.
So to all our brothers out there, look, make that call. If you feel as though all four walls are closing in, make that call, and the support and help is there for you as well.
That's right. We have trained counsellors on the line, and they specialise in working with men who use family violence, so they can have that conversation to help you be to help you deal with whatever's going on for you right now, and calm you down a bit. Figure out what's going on for you, and put you in touch with any services that are local to where you live that might support you.
Fantastic. Look, very important space, and reaching out for our mob. So also your webpage, allthews.ntv.org.au, for No to Violence.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Well, a very important space, and thank you for your conversation. And to all our deadly warriors out there, 21st century, look, reach out, my brothers, and that phone number, 1-300-766-491, Men's Referral Service Helpline. If you feel that way inclined, and to all beautiful women out there, 1-800-RESPECT. That's the number you need to call, and do what you need to do to keep yourself and keep your children safe. That's a fantastic message there, Lizette, and I thank you for coming to the program.
You're welcome. Thanks, Trevor.
All the best to you. Take care and stay safe, hey?
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adela Yarn there, Lizette Twistleton, Head of Sector Development for No to Violence. So Men's Referral Service Helpline, phone number there, 1-300-766-491. And my brothers, if you want to help yourself, make that call and be a true warrior. That's the message there. And to all our beautiful women out there, 1-800-RESPECT. That's the phone number you need for support or help or guidance. This is your daily program, your mob, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn, your mob. Too deadly.
Children, for a man, she's a
Yeah, woman's business, Ruby Hunter, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, local government supports an agreement to facilitate planning assessment processes. We're going to catch up a yarn now with David O'Loughlin, Australian Local Government Association President on the line. David, very good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Trevor. Thanks for having me on. The first time I've been on your great show.
Well, there you go. Just tick that in your box, and you've done that. So fantastic. And welcome you to the program. And the space that we're living in at the moment, really upside down, but COVID-19. And tell us about the Australian Local Government Association.
Look, it is a bit topsy-turvy at the moment, no doubt about that, Trevor. But we are keen to keep things running as much as we can where it's safe to do so.
Yes.
So whilst we've got our libraries closed, our planning assessment department is very busy behind closed doors, and they're working to make sure that there's nothing holding up assessing people who want to build extensions on their houses or build a new house or build a new business or a factory or whatever it is. We want to make sure that those workers that actually build those things are still kept employed for many months to come, and that means where we're right at the front end of the process and doing the assessment and approval, we're continuing our hard work unabated. So that's the agreement that we've come to.
Was there a pause, David, at the beginning when COVID-19 came about and they started putting all these rules in place? Was there a hold on the planning situation?
Not really at all a hold. There were some measures to make sure that people could work off-site at home. So teams were split in two in most councils, so half in the office and half at home. And that was to make sure that if someone got sick, that they didn't make the rest of the whole team sick.
Yes.
So called business continuity, making sure that the functions could keep going on unabated. So setting up those working from home arrangements caused a couple of interruptions, but they were hours, not days.
Okay. And is there communication for the workers and the carpenters and the builders and what have you, and who do they communicate with in regarding getting out there doing their jobs?
Well, the great thing is that the construction industry hasn't had very many restrictions put on them at all.
Yes.
They've had to maintain their 1.5 metre physical distancing. They've had to do some calculations on how many people can be on a particular floor or in a particular room. But other than that, it's been full steam ahead.
Good.
And those of your listeners that are in construction know that they've been able to get on with their job pretty much unrestricted.
Fantastic. And so, like I said, it's an upside-down world, but look, hats off to all Australians. We are doing our bits, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, and looking at normality very soon, yes?
We're certainly hoping so, and we want to make sure that our role as councils and building assessors and approvers plays a key role in getting us back to normal so that we're not interrupting. We are, in fact, stepping up and making sure that the system in terms of approvals and construction, continues as it was normally, because it's a very important part of our economy and it employs a lot of people, Trevor, an awful lot of people.
Exactly.
And we want to make sure that they're kept in jobs for as long as we can.
And look, we're looking at the people who've got the passion and the vision to better up their kitchen or have a new bathroom, what have you. That can still go ahead before those people who are halfway through the process, look, it can be finished, the job can be finished.
Absolutely, and all of your listeners will know that the hardware stores have not been shut, so where you can go and get your groceries from a store that's open, and you can go and get your hammers and nails and timber
yes.
and concrete from another store and keep going. So all those renovations are absolutely full steam ahead, as are all the construction projects. So as far as I'm aware, Trevor, there's not a single construction project that's been shut down anywhere in the nation. So that's good news for people working in that sector.
Fantastic. And when we're shopping, just need to look for the so-called yellow X's and keep your space, keep your distance, and we can still move this country forward. David, thank you very much for your conversation. All the best to you and your deadly team. Look, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, David.
A great pleasure, Trevor, and have a great day to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya.
A beautiful yarn there. David O'Loughlin, his name, Australian Local Government Association President. And look, all thumbs up in regard to the builders and the carpenters and the tilers and the bricklayers. continue doing your job, just operate at that 1.5 metres away from each other and do what you need to do to make it all good in regarding the building industry. More power to you. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the ball here on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, and taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. And there's National Talk Black. Give us a call, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. So we are living in a different world at the moment, and with this pandemic that's upon us, COVID-19, we are going to catch up and have a yarn with Dr. Georgie Fleming and talk about parenting in a pandemic. And we're talking about a space to entertain kids and keep them upbeat and what have you. And Dr. Georgie is a psychologist specializing in childhood disruptive behavior problems. But you could say COVID-19 has shown its way of being disruptive. Isn't it the case, Dr. Georgie? Good morning, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, you're absolutely right. It has been very disruptive, I think, to everybody's lives. But parents' lives in particular, I think it's had a big impact on.
So we're talking about our beautiful, we say Pekingese, our beautiful kids, and how to keep them upbeat and what have you. I mean, you got five top tips in how to massage that mind of our kids, yeah?
Yeah, I do. I just put together a few thoughts after speaking to a number of the families that I work with and the parents saying to me, what am I going to do now that the kids aren't at school and that they're home all the time? So I put together a few practical things that parents could put in place to, I guess, reduce the impact of the pandemic on their kids and on their families' lives.
Mm. I mean, to make it easier for the parents as well, I mean, because they're going through some, if not anxiety or, you know, mental capacity about the unknown future or the space that we're living in, which is all new to everybody across the globe. So to keep the kids at bay or the children at bay and keeping them entertained and them at calmness, it helps you then to get your thoughts together, yes?
Absolutely. The first step in being an effective parent is taking care of yourself. And at a time like this, when you have so much to do, you have fewer resources to do it with, of course you're going to become stressed and anxious and all of those things. But when we are stressed and anxious and worried, that can impact how well we parent our kids. So absolutely, doing these things to help your kids to reduce the burden that comes at a time like this in terms of the parenting responsibility will absolutely be helpful for improving how parents are feeling about themselves as well. So it sort of works both ways.
Yes. And then we're probably talking about, say, you're going to share with us the psychologist's five top tips in regarding keeping our kids at bay or keeping them calm in that sense. But if you look at the phrase KISS, you know, keep it simple, Spunky. I'm a positive person. Keep it simple, Spunky. That in the basics of communication or engaging, we now bring that to the table, and you're going to share that with us, yes?
Absolutely. And these are really basic tips. Basic to talk about, but sometimes a little bit more difficult to do.
Can you get off the fan, please? Don't touch that. Leave that alone. Did you have a shower? Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Oh, my gosh, exactly. And that's just 24 hours a day now. They're not at school. But my number one top tip, and the reason why I put it as number one is because if I could pick anything, it would be to tell parents to do this. And it's to have one-on-one time with your kid. I work primarily with young kids, so preschoolers, early primary school age, but the same applies across the age groups of kids all the way up to teenagers, sure, is to have some high-quality one-on-one time every day with your child. For the young kids, we call it special play, and it's a particular type of play where the child's in the lead. It's very creative. It's very child-led. But the reason why that would be my number one tip is because something like special play, one-on-one, high-quality emotional time can help maintain your parent-child relationship or the relationship between the caregiver and the child.
When you say special play, I mean the child itself, when you say one-on-one, the child would feel so important and feel loved and feel, you know, I am being focused on. And, you know, and that's good for the child's mind, yeah?
Trevor, you've absolutely nailed it. That's exactly how special time or special play makes a child feel. And it gives the parent, on, when we look at it from the other perspective, it also gives the parents, you know, 5 minutes a day when they can remember all of the great things about their kid as well.
Yes.
So it's 5 minutes without the child being not compliant, without the child back chatting, without them, you know, ignoring you when you tell them to go and brush their hair or take their dinner plate to the table.
And that was only 40 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so it's 5 minutes a day, yes, when the child can feel so special and so important and so loved by their parent, but also when the parent can see, oh, my gosh, these are all the reasons why I love this kid, and
yes,
that's why it helps maintain that relationship. And think about it. When you feel more positively towards someone, you're so much more likely to accept their limits, to respect their values and respect their boundaries, so it can actually help with all of that non-compliance and that pushback later on.
Exactly. Well, I think I'd add to that in regard to when we look at our beautiful child, you know, falling asleep in front of the TV or laying in their bed or laying on the couch and they're out to it, we go over and look at that precious cargo, you know, thinking, I love you so much and what did I do? And I didn't mean to, you know, you sort of, you have a little argument with yourself mentally, you know what I mean? And that's what it's all about in regard to this special play. I'm loving that.
And it can look different from one family to another.
Of course.
But however many parent figures or caregivers there are in that family home, I would say try and find one-on-one time with all the kids that you have. So no matter how many caregivers, no matter how many siblings there are there, if you can get in at least 5 minutes of that really high-quality, loving, squishy, affectionate one-on-one time, that's going to be really helpful.
Well, if we're talking about 10 hours at home all day because of no school, you can find 5 minutes, and that's very important 5 minutes, yes?
Yes. So that would be my number one tip. My other tips are sort of similar in terms of maintaining the relationship, but tips two and three are use praise and use rewards. So these are good things that we can give to kids that make them feel, again, special and make them feel nice inside. But my biggest tip with these is if you're telling a child that they're good or if you're giving them something that they like as a reward, make sure they know why they're getting your praise and that reward.
Mm-hmm.
So say to them, you know, you were such a good girl today for letting Mum finish her phone calls before you came over and spoke to me. Whatever those behaviours are that you want to see more of, when the child does it, give them praise and give them,
so they acknowledge,
give them the special things. So they learn.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, being told you were such a good girl today, that feels really nice.
It does.
It doesn't necessarily teach the child what they need to be doing.
Explain why they were a good girl.
Sort of praise.
Yes.
Exactly. So explain why you're giving them that positive attention in the form of praise or rewards. So that's my number two and my number three tips. Use rewards, use praise, but make them specific. Make sure your child knows why they're getting that praise, why they're getting that reward.
Fantastic. Yep. What else you got there?
And what else I got? Okay, so tip number four is sort of on the other side of the coin. It's use consequences. So consequences are really important, particularly at a time like this, because the world is very uncertain. Things have changed. Kids aren't at school. There's less structure. There's less routine. And so consequences for behaviours that aren't so desirable, that you don't want to see so often, are really important, again, for teaching kids what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
Sure. Yep.
But the biggest thing with consequences is that they need to be fair. But also when you're delivering them, when you're putting in place a consequence, trying to make that as neutral or as emotion-free as possible.
Mm.
Because when we usually use consequences, it's at a time that we're feeling really frustrated with our kids, really angry, really annoyed,
mm.
and we tend to show the kids those emotions.
Sure.
But what we need to remember is that it's the consequence that changes the behaviour, it's not the emotion.
Sure.
And when we are emotional with our kids, that can be very motivating for them. So sometimes when we use a consequence and it's highly emotional and we're shouting and we're getting on their level and they can tell we're really upset with them.
They miss the message.
Exactly. And it can make those behaviours happen more often rather yes. than less often. So when you use a consequence, make sure you use it consistently. Make sure it's fair,
mm-hmm.
but also make sure that you're emotionally as neutral as you can be when you're delivering it. The other good thing that we'll do is help show kids how to stay calm at stressful times. So you're being a really good role model of how to regulate your emotions appropriately. That's tip four, consequences.
And number five?
And number five, this one's a little bit more abstract, and I felt when I was writing this or thinking about this, it felt a little bit trite to say, but it's take care of yourself. And this goes back to what we were speaking about at the start of our conversation, which is to be a good parent, you have to take care of yourself. And taking care of yourself at a time like this is actually a lot harder because a lot of the things that we do to wind down or give ourselves a break, we can't do anymore. We can't go out
sure,
and have
exactly.
dinner and conversations with friends. We can't go to the gym or whatever it is. So I would set parents the task
take care of yourself.
And make it a priority of figuring out what helps you wind down, relax, and feel as if you have been taken care of. Because it's really hard to take care of other people when you haven't been taken care of.
Sure. And so, look, if there's a team effort, hubby, you look after the kids, I'm going for my 5-minute jog or 10-minute jog sort of thing, and there's what you need to do then if you're taking care of yourself, isn't it?
Exactly, 100%. And you've raised a really good point there of this idea of the parenting team. So if you do have somebody else at home that helps you take care of kids, coming at parenting from a team perspective, so you can tag in and tag out when you reach your limit, is always going to be a really helpful way of managing highly stressful parenting situations. So
fantastic.
You need your other parent.
Dr. Georgie, fantastic. When you look at it, I'll just go over it again. Number one, do special play every day. Number two, use lots of praise. Number three, use rewards. Number four, use consequences. And number five, take care of yourself. Now, these are the five top tips for parenting. But you could say that could be used for 24/7 for all peoples, adults as well, you know, in regarding life.
Yep, 100%. Because really these tips, I tried to make them as simple as possible. And the reason why they work is because they're based on these universal principles of relationships are important. And when we do certain behaviours, if they're followed by good outcomes, those behaviours will increase. If the behaviours are followed by not so good outcomes, those behaviours will decrease. So, yeah, it works with kids. It works with parenting kids in a pandemic. But it also works with parenting kids not in a pandemic, with your partner, with your boss, with your friends. They're just good principles in general.
Yes, fantastic. Dr. Georgie, thank you so very much. You put a smile on my dial. I'm a doctor of happiness, so we're on the same page, girl. This is a very deadly conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, and all the best to you and your lovely family, and you take care and stay safe.
Vice versa, Trevor. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye, Doug. Bye-bye. A beautiful young there, Dr. Georgie Fleming, her name is, psychologist, and looks specialising in childhood disruptive behaviour, behaviour problems, that is. And as I mentioned there, COVID-19 has shown its way of being disruptive behaviour. And so Dr. Georgie has stated and helping regarding parenting in the pandemic that we're living in at the moment. And as I mentioned, I'll mention that again, number one, do special play every day. And she's talking about one-on-one with each child. So look at that. Number two, use lots of praise. Praise as children. Use rewards as well. They're doing good. Reward them for what they're doing. Use consequences, you know, and that's controlling the anger and the education part of it as well. And number five, take care of yourself. That's so very important. You need to be strong as an individual and to that man, that woman in the mirror, so you can be a deadly parent. Have your say.
Well, we're going to catch up now. We've got Selwyn on the line there. Good afternoon, Selwyn. Good morning, sorry. Brother Selwyn. No, not there. Give me a call back, Selwyn. We've got about 8 minutes left here on the program, National Talk Black. For your local mob, stay online because Trendy Trevor will take you right up till 1 o'clock with a special COVID-19 program. And that deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother on 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And you can look at our Facebook page and look at our podcast and all our photos and all our yarns. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
In the land of the indigenous, we are fighting for our rights. In the land of the indigenous, we got to stand up for our rights.
Yeah, Adrian, Walter, Minu there. Fire dance going back to Selwyn. You there, brother? Good morning.
Yeah. I'd like to give a big shout-out to an old friend of my brother.
Shout-out to who, sorry?
I'll give a shout-out to the old friend of my brother.
Yes.
They took a lot of people down to Warrabinda, brother.
Okay.
You know, we talk about the war years. Brother, I'd like to also remember that when all the blokes were taken over to fight in those different theatres of war, a lot of our people, they looked after the white kids on the station, brother.
Yes.
Brother, you at the first call about talking about dads, sometimes I don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha, I'm on the show, you know, that Sonia Kruger, she would reckon, oh, as a mother.
As a mother, you're true, exactly. You wear two hats, my brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. But, of course, coronavirus, you know, life still goes on, brother, and what do you think of this 1.5 or, you know, restriction? When we talk in the show, when we talk, it goes to everybody's private homes and they hear what we have to say. But, brother, I also talked about the police and us and the good stories from us too as well. Three more private, I like to give it, like Gary Jubelin, brother. And we thought he was a good cop, I think. I reckon all collectively on the black ones. Gary Jubelin of the horrible stuff that happened down there. And there was another fellow that Rick Flory and the Gold Coast there, brother, he was a whistleblower about he's a bully man, but he was a whistleblower, another bully man with a Baptist fella, and he went back to the white fella. So yes, we acknowledge a good white bloke, and the Melbourne workshop of Blue Eye Brown Eye, they're down in Melbourne, and there was a white woman there, and she's a police woman, and they asked me what she's coming to do that work for, and I love what she said. She said, brother, I'm coming in because I want to learn. And you know, there are a lot of good stories about our people, brother. Brother, also I'd like to talk about, you know, when you had a hookup with Benny McCarthy last year, and they were up in that Oracle. And anyway, Anzac, our soldiers, Anzac week, I think it was. But what we didn't hear, I'd like to talk about as well, what we didn't hear about Oracle was a lady car down here where Bendigo Bank down where Dunwoody's, and it parked about in the park as well, and another lady died in hospital, and that brother that was drinking Listerine, he died in Locust Glen, brother. And when they talk from Arakuna, the way I see, this is the way I see, brother, I see it as Australia's wounded knee, and we know what happened to that wounded knee in America with the Native Americans stood up, I think the FBI over there on their land. Well, in the NITV takeover documentary, and shows out to people. And they had roadblocks here too, and planes wasn't allowed. But they should have. And all those horrible things the white fellows talk about going overseas to fight for, our fight still continues. We lost Brother Sam Watson, but we still fight for our culture, our land, and our people. And, yeah, like, when I talk on the radio, but I like to also think that I'm thinking for my children.
Yes.
But I was very hit when Adam Goods, he went back home, and he had all that trouble, and he went back home to his home country and connected with his country, connected with his humanity. And, Brother, I was very hit when Brian Collins come on and said, we're like two dogs fighting for, two fleas, rather, fighting for of a dog. Because putting it in a proper perspective, you know, over in the mother country, they promote tourism for the white folks in USA, New Zealand, or Australia, for white folks to go back and look at those septic cases over there they got. And I think it was, and for sure, those English or Irish or Scottish, they want to swap their land to each other because their particular home country is a sacred value to them. So when they get in contact with their own humanity, so I was angry about that. You know, I like to, even if I go against what, like yourself and talk about being a positive of speaking about, even if it's said that I'm speaking for my children too, because
of course,
like I said before, there was a show on 50 Nothing. But there was principle, you know, down in Gold Coast or something. She said, they said, why you keep, you know, why don't you move on? She said, if you don't speak out, become normalized. So that's why I like to speak for my thing, for my people, but for my children, that's what I think I am. Like I say, I like to pack myself into a corner that I'm all grumpy bug of a bit. There was a fight, mother, and there were some black people that did not like to hear about that fight. But Arian Colby fighting over a woman, brother. That woman Mackenzie, they fight over it. But a lot of the stuff that happened on Home and Away there, brother, they're good topics for to have with your children, like man fighting over a woman, but in the Murray community, and having a yarn about a discussion, you know, and even in men's group, you know, like some people might think one bloke is racist, but they're good stuff to talk about, brother.
Exactly. Brother, I'm going to go to the news, my brother. That's someone there. We'll try and catch up with him in the next show, which is the local show, 1-800-422-416. Two Deadly Mobs. Stay safe.